All right, I'm going to give you this morning 7 statements about faith. I would like very much, if you will, if you have a pencil and paper, pen and paper, write them down. I think they're solid enough for you to write on one of the blank pages in your Bible, back in the back or in the front. These are 7 statements regarding faith, which I have thought over carefully, which I believe clearly define it, and which separate this faith of God's elect from error and chaff, from all things. And here they are. There's 7 of them. I'll give them to you and try to be brief on each one. But first of all, faith is indeed the gift of God. Now that's where we begin. I didn't call him, he called me. I didn't seek him, he sought me. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. I want you to turn first to John chapter 1. John 1 verse 12. Now listen to this. Faith is not the product of free will. It is the gift of God. Paul told us that in Ephesians, didn't he? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But here in John 1, verse 10, it says, he was in this world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. The world doesn't know Christ. And he came into his own. He came to his own tabernacle, temple, people, and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which, now this identifies these people. They were born. Which were born? These people believed because they were born of God. Whosoever is born of God believes. Whosoever believeth is born of God. And they were born. They were born not of blood, that is, not of fleshly inheritance, not of natural generation. They were not born of the will of the flesh. They were not born of the will of man. They were born of God. Brother Gruber told us about a woman in the Yucatan. Some of these people live far out. You just can't describe where they do live and how they live. And this woman lived in one of the villages outside the village, and you take the paved road and get to the village, and then you turn on the dirt road. And he was visiting this village, and then he saw a trail. It wasn't a road at all. It was just a trail over the rocks and winding around, going out to some little grass huts. And he said, I just decided I was going to go out there and visit those people. And he said, I got my truck started over that trail, rocks and bumps. It wasn't even a road, it was just a trail. But he said, I negotiated up there, and I pulled up in front of this little grass hut. And he said, I got out, and I went up to the doorway, and he said, they came running out to meet me. And he said, they just welcomed me with open arms. They were so glad to see me. And they invited me into their little hut. And he said, I went in and sat down, and they were just elated to see me. He said, I hadn't received a welcome like that. He said, I couldn't understand it. And he said, I sat there, and I taught them the gospel. I taught them the gospel. I read from God's word, and I told them about Christ. They hadn't heard the gospel. And I taught them the gospel. There was an elderly lady there and some more people. So they invited me back. So he said, I went back. And it wasn't till several trips later that dear old lady said to Walter, God moves in strange, mysterious ways. But she said to Walter, I had a dream. The reason we welcomed you and were so glad to see you is I had told my family about my dream. And I had dreamed that a North American, and that's what she said, North American, would come to my house in a machine and tell me about God. And she said, you rode up in that machine, and I knew who you were. Now, God doesn't always work that way. But I'll tell you this, he always reveals Christ by the power of his Spirit and sends a preacher to preach the gospel to his elect. Now, he will. Faith's a gift of God. You will not come to me, but I'll come to you. It's the gift of God. Faith is not given because of anything found in us. Before faith comes, there's nothing in us but ignorance. There's nothing in us but enmity. When we were enemies, Christ died for us. Nothing in us but unbelief. That's all that's in us. Let me show you something over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You didn't seek God. God sought you. You called upon him because he called upon you. God sent Peter to Cornelius. God sent Philip to the eunuch. God sent Paul to the Philippian jailer. If you're one of God's elect, he'll send the gospel to you. And here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What's that? That's talking about the original creation when the earth was without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. God initiated the light. God sent the light. God gave the light. And that's what it's saying here. The same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Faith is the gift of God. And all who have true faith give God the glory. They give God all the glory. He saved me. He sought me. He loved me. I love him because he loved me. You see that? We've got to start there. The Apostle Paul, when he was tracing his blessings, he said, God's blessed me with all spiritual blessing because he chose me. And he chose me because he predestinated me to be like Christ. And he predestinated me to be like Christ because he willed it according to the good pleasure of his will. It was not my will, it was his will. Do you see that? All right, secondly, now you've got to see that for faith, the gift of God. It's given unto you not only to suffer for him, but to believe on him. It's a gift of God. It didn't originate with you. Faith is not a flower that's produced in the human heart. It's the gift of God. All right, secondly, faith always has Jesus Christ as its principal object. Faith always has Jesus Christ as its principal object. Now get this. This is so important. Faith and Christ are so much one that if you take away Christ, there is no faith. There is no faith. It doesn't even exist. Faith and Christ are so much one that you take away Christ, there's no such thing as faith. Somebody says, well, I believe in God. How can you believe in God if you don't believe in Christ? You've never seen God. You've never even heard God. And you don't know God. How can you believe? How can they believe in one of whom they've not heard? He said no man had seen God at any time, save the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal. He said no man had seen God, no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. You've never heard God speak. God has spoken to us through his Son. Any man who has saving faith has Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no faith. 1 John 5:11 says this. Just jot it down. Let me quote it to you. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hath not life. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know God that is true. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Apart from Christ, there is no faith. Faith in Christ, faith and Christ are one. Christ is the sole object of faith, the principal object. You see, this is example. Christ is the bread. Faith is the mouth that feeds upon it. Take away the bread, and the mouth has no service. The mouth can't satisfy your hunger. Take away the bread, there's no satisfaction. Christ is the serpent lifted up. Faith is just the eye to look. If there's nothing upon which to look, there's no need for an eye. Christ is the foundation. Faith stands on Him. Remove Him, there's no place to stand. Christ is the mercy seat. Faith comes to the mercy seat. If there's no mercy seat, there's no place to come. Isn't that clear? Christ is the bridegroom. Faith is the bride that takes Him by the hand. No bridegroom, no marriage. And that's what I'm saying. Faith has Jesus Christ as its principal object. Who He is, what He did, why He did it, where He is now, and all about Him, the person and work of Christ. My faith is Christ. Remove Him, there's no faith. There's no such thing as faith. God's unrevealed. God's unknown. We were standing out in Mexico looking at those stars. They are absolutely indescribable down there. There's no smog. There's no pollution. It's the, you that have been there know what I'm talking about. On a dark night, they're just brilliant. There's billions of them. And I stand out there and I marvel at the stars. The scripture says God calls them all by name. I was reading that in the psalm last night. He calls them by name. But that nature and stars and the universe can tell me nothing of God except His power. Can't tell me anything about His grace. Will God forgive sin? Hey, star, will God forgive sin? I'm a guilty sinner. Will God receive me? Is there salvation? Stars won't talk. I look at the trees and the oranges and those banana trees, and I say, hey, I can see by that God's powerful, but will he raise me from the dead? Will He take me to glory? They don't speak. There's no way to know God. You say, I believe in the God of creation. Well, the God of creation won't reveal to you God of salvation. You got no Christ. I tell you, there, Christ is the principal and sole object of faith. Without Christ, there's no faith. Now, you can just rattle around all you want to about believing God, but God has spoken to us by His Son. He that heareth me, heareth Him who sent me. All right, thirdly, faith receives Christ in the soul. He said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You remember when I read that? Turn back to John 6. Let's look at that a minute. I tell you, I've read that so many times, tried to preach on it. I've read commentaries on it and read and reread it. Verse 35, John 6, I am the bread of life. And then verse 53. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What is it to eat His flesh and drink His blood? I've read that over. I've never read anybody that satisfied me on that. But I offer this. See if this will help. This helped me. Believing Christ and receiving Christ is not believing facts about Christ. I've believed these facts about Christ since I was a small child. I was blessed to have a mother and father who believed the Bible, who went to church. And they taught me that Jesus Christ is God. The Bible's the Word of God. That He came into the world that he died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. And I believe those facts. And I went to school and studied to be a preacher, and I learned the doctrines of the Bible. I learned the doctrine of divine inspiration. I learned the doctrine of the virgin birth. I learned the doctrine of substitution. I learned the doctrine of the resurrection. I learned the various doctrines. But salvation, receiving Christ, is not believing facts about him or doctrines about him. But it is literally and actually to take Christ by faith into my soul. Now, here's my illustration. Have you ever been hungry? Really hungry. Really hungry. Well, you don't chew on a leaf, and you don't chew on a piece of wood. You can't even chew on gum. You got to have bread. Bread. And when you take that bread is the only thing that'll satisfy my hunger. And so I eat it. And I keep eating it. And as I eat that bread, my hunger goes away. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I'm not hungry anymore. And that's the way I receive Christ. My soul is hungry for God. It's hungry for peace. It's hungry. It's hungry for some assurance. And I see Christ, the fulfillment of all that God has promised and purposed and pictured. And I do receive him. And do you know my hunger goes away? I'm satisfied. He met my need. Have you ever been thirsty? Really thirsty. I've been thirsty. Well, when you're thirsty, you take this drink. And you drink it. And after you've drunk enough of it, you put it down. Satisfied. Christ is the water of life. And I've drunk. And really, I've found in him all I need. I found a rest. I found a satisfaction. I found some comfort in him that I never found anywhere else. Have you ever been naked, cold, naked, and you put your clothes on? You put on a shirt and pants and a warm sweater, and in that warm coat, you're clothed now. You're not ashamed. Somebody, you're naked, you got out of the shower, and you heard somebody rattle a door, and you just went grabbing for things. You're ashamed, afraid somebody's going to come in. But you got your cloak, come on in. I'm clothed. I'm not naked anymore. And I found in his righteousness a clothing and a robe that I'm not ashamed anymore. I can stand here and say, Our Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner in thought, word, and deed, but I'm not ashamed because my sins are covered in the righteousness of Christ. I'm not cold anymore. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. Have you ever been afraid? I remember one time when I was a little boy, about as afraid as I've ever been. Is that a good English? Scared as I've ever been. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And my mother told me to go over. We lived on a railroad track. And the neighbor was about, a quarter of a mile. And so she told me one night to go over next door to this lady's house, and she was making something. She wanted to borrow some sugar, flour or something. I don't remember what it was. But so I walked, I scared anyway, and I walked up the trail to the path by the railroad track on a hill, and I walked over to that lady's house, and I knocked at the door, and she gave me what I came for, and I started back. And I got up on the hill halfway between her house and my house, and somebody jumped out of the bushes at me. I don't know who it was, but they jumped down and hollered, Hey, boy! The reason I don't know what I went after, because I didn't get on with it. I just threw it. I broke out in cold chills. My heart started pounding. I was scared. And my feet hardly touched the ground. I ran in my mother's kitchen and shut the door. And I wasn't scared anymore. I was home. My daddy was there and my mother was there. I wasn't afraid. Well, I tell you, Christ is my refuge. And all the devils and demons and frightening things out there don't scare me anymore because I'm home. I'm home. You see what I'm saying? Christ is a picture I won't comfort a person with. A fact won't satisfy. Bread will. A picture of a glass of water. I don't care. You can go to the well. You know how deep it is. You can know how high the railing. You can know how far down the bucket must drop. You can know how many feet to the well and die of thirst. But when you drink the water, you're satisfied. And that's what it means. That's faith. It's receiving Christ. Fourthly, faith is not only receiving Christ, but it's resting in Christ. I receive him and I rest. My Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come to me and I'll give you rest. It's resting. Now, while I was down in Mexico, I was preaching out at Calcuta, and I pulled a chair up. And I said, I want to illustrate to you what I mean by resting in Christ. I said, you people watch me. I said, there's a chair. And that chair, I believe, will hold me. That chair looks strong enough to hold me and all these things. But that chair's not going to afford me any rest until I sit in it. So I walked over and I sat down and I held on to the banister. And I said, now I'm believing somewhat in the chair, but not altogether, because I'm holding to something else. And then I turned that loose and lifted up my feet, but I reached on and grabbed Brother Howard's hand. He was translating for me, standing behind. I said, I'm almost trusting it, but I still got a hold of Brother Howard just in case. And I said, I turn loose of Brother Howard, turn loose of this, lift my feet. I'm resting on the chair. And I said to them, I said, you got to get rid of your pictures, get rid of your idols. You say, you believe on Jesus, you still got your pictures. You believe on Jesus, still got your cross. You believe on Jesus, but you still got the priest by the hand. You believe on Jesus, but you still got your beads. You believe on Jesus, but you still got your little profession of faith. You're not resting in Christ till you rest in Christ. Turn loose everything else. Is that right? That's resting in Christ. Sink or swim, I go to him. Sink or swim, I go to him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Now listen to this. This is very vital right here. Hebrews 4. It's very important. In reference to faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In Hebrews 4, 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest. R-E-S-T, rest. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now let me show you this. When God created the heavens and the earth, it said in 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, and he rested. God wasn't tired. It said he rested. He ceased from his labors, satisfied with what he'd done, and rested. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, fulfilled all that the law required, all that justice demanded, all that God expected of all his people. And he sat down and he rested. He ceased from his works. They were finished. There's nothing else to be done. Now when you and I enter into his rest, our sabbatical, our true Sabbath, we'll rest too. You'll quit fighting it. You'll quit saying, well, maybe he can't hold me. Maybe I do need baptism. Maybe I do need to tithe. Maybe I do need the preacher to help me. Maybe I do need a priest. Maybe some of these things are. No, you hadn't ceased from your works yet. You hadn't entered into his rest. When you entered into his rest,
you'll sit just like he's sitting.
Sit thou on my right hand. Our Lord finished. You think Christ ought to come down here and do anything else? Why, no, preacher.
Then you think you ought to do something else? It's finished. Now rest. That's faith. Rest in him. You say, well, don't you do anything? You travel all over this country and the world preaching. I do it because I love him. Not in order to gain his favor. I have his favor.
I'm resting. I might be running about, but I'm resting in here. I'm resting in here, aren't you? I don't look like I'm resting, but I am. I'm satisfied. I don't preach another sermon. I'm satisfied. Don't give another dime. I'm resting in Christ. That's faith. Resting. Don't bother me. I'm resting. I'm not worried. All right, number five. Faith receives Christ and rests in Christ alone.
Alone for salvation. Christ alone for all of salvation. That's what I want to say, for all of salvation.
You know, the average person, when you talk about salvation in Christ, they're thinking about somebody keeping me out of hell. I don't want to go to hell. I sure do. I believe in hell. I don't preach about it a lot, but I believe in it. But, you know, it's more than just keeping out of hell. It's more than just going to heaven someday. That's only a part of it. But Jesus Christ right now is my salvation. He's all of my salvation. There's an everlasting covenant. God talks about his covenant, the sure mercies of David. Well, Christ is all, far as I'm concerned, in that covenant. He's my surety. And then they're sons of God. And Jesus Christ has made me a son of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be sons of God. And there's a sanctification. And Christ is my sanctification. He's my holiness. Let me show you something in Colossians 1. Christ is my holiness. Yes, I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in faith. I want to grow in knowledge. I want to grow in patience. I want to be more patient, don't you? I want to grow in love. I want to love God more and love people more. But right now in Christ, he's all of my sanctification. I am perfectly holy in Christ. And that faith receives him as all of my salvation. Colossians 1:21. And you that were at one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, right now, hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you what? Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Brethren, now are we sons of God? Right now. Holy sons of God. You're a holy nation. You're holy. Christ is your holiness. Christ is your sanctification. Christ is your wisdom. Christ is my life. Christ is my hope. It's not Christ plus anything. Christ is all of my salvation. Faith rests on him for everything. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then in the sixth place, faith rests on Christ as he's presented in the gospel. Now, my friends, you can't get beyond it is written. It is written. Our Lord keeps using the word it is written. It is written. You can't get beyond it is written. I don't want to. My thoughts are unreliable. My thoughts are unreliable. My thoughts, God said, are not his thoughts. And my feelings are subject to such trifles. My feelings change. And they can't be trusted. And my vows and promises fail. I've made promises. I've made vows. I've made determinations. But situations alter that. But his word is sure. And my faith can rest on the promises of his word. And faith rests upon Christ as he's presented in the word of God. You see that? Just like he's presented in the word of God. Not like I imagine him to be, but as he's presented in the Word of God. I wish I could emphasize this like it ought to be emphasized. Because my generation doesn't know a great deal about God's Word. Oh, they don't hesitate to express an opinion about God's Word, but they don't know much about it. They don't hesitate to tell you what they think or what they feel or what they've always believed. But I'll tell you this, real saving faith rests upon what he says. That's right. One day the disciples were out fishing one night. They fished all night, didn't catch anything. These were qualified, capable, experienced fishermen. And they'd fished all night, caught nothing. And they came in. They were sitting there cleaning their nets. Didn't have any fish. And the Lord walked up and he said, children, have you any meat? They said, no. They said, Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. He said, get back in your boat. Get your nets. And go right out there and cast your net over the side. And Peter looked up at him and he said, Lord, I've toiled all night. I fished out there. I fished over there. And I fished over there. And I'm not new at this. I'm an old man. I've been doing it a long time. But nevertheless, at your word, I cast out the net. Now there you have it. I don't understand the mysteries of election. I don't understand the mysteries of God's sovereignty and predestinating purposes. I don't understand them. I don't understand how God can become a man and come forth from the womb of a little girl. I don't understand how God can be clothed in a baby's body and nurse at a mother's breast. I don't understand that, right? I don't understand how God Almighty can work in a carpenter's shop, sweat running off his head, trying to put two befores together. He who made the world with a word. I don't understand that. I don't understand how God can die on a cross and shed his blood and rise from the grave. I don't understand that. But nevertheless, at his word, I believe. And you ain't got nothing else now. Now you bring your wisdom. Well, I tell you what I think. People have been thinking a long time, hadn't thought anything yet. But I tell you what I always heard. Don't believe it. Get you a Bible. I dare you. Get you a Bible and see what he says. Because I promise you this, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And I told those preachers down in Mexico, I said, you get in this word, get this word in your heart, or you get out of the ministry. You get in this word and get this word in your heart, or you get out of the business of claiming to know God. Because here's where it is, Paul, right here. It's not what you think or what your pastor thinks. It's what God says. Nevertheless, at thy word. And faith rests upon Christ as he's presented in the word. And in the seventh place, faith receives an undivided Christ. Undivided. He is not going to be your Savior unless he's your Lord. No, sir, he's prophet, priest, and king. Isn't that what the word says? Let me tell you something. Faith receives an undivided Christ. God has a threefold throne. The God of the universe has a threefold throne. First, he has a throne of glory. I don't know anything about that. I've never seen it. Isaiah saw it. The seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. His glory filled the temple. And Isaiah just melted into nothing. I don't know anything about that throne of glory. And God, secondly, has a throne of justice. And I don't want to know anything about that. David said, Lord, don't bring me into judgment with thee.
don't do it. I don't want to know anything about it. But thank God there's a throne of grace. And Christ, our exalted Redeemer, sits on that throne. Now I'm coming to the throne of grace.
Lord, do with me what you will. But I'm coming to the throne of grace. And looking to Christ as he is, prophet, priest, and king. You think our thoughts are going to change him? Well, I just won't have it that way. Oh, I want it just like he says it. I don't claim to understand it, but I believe it. I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it. Someday I'll understand. But until then, I'm going to believe God.